بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We share and learn and discuss and revise the life of someone so close to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone who Allah chose to be a blessed consort of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone who was so special, who Allah's Nabi attested to her truthfulness. Allah's Nabi confirmed her sincerity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose her to be from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And interestingly, she comes from the offspring, the Sibt of Lawi, who's the son of the Nabi of Allah, Ya'qub alayhi salam, who's the son of Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, who's the son of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And in turn she hails from the offspring of Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, who's the brother of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is none other than Hazrat Safiyya binti Huyay ibn Akhtab radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Her father was Huyay ibn Akhtab. Her mother was Barra binti Samu'al. Samu'al in English translates as Samuel, who was the sister of Rifa'a bin Samu'al al-Quradi. Anyway, Hazrat Safiyya radiyallahu anha, from her tender age, remembers the arrival of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Medina Munawwara. Ibn Ishaq reports in his book of history from Hazrat Safiyya radiyallahu anha, mother, she says that my father and uncle loved me very much. My father being Huyay, my uncle being Abu Yasir. Whenever they met me with any other child, both of them would pick me up and show me love. When the blessed Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Quba, and he was residing in the area of Amr bin Auf, my father and uncle went to visit him, and they left early in the morning, ghalas, it was the time of Fajr, and they had returned by sunset, and they came, kalaini kaslanaini saqitaini yamshiyani al-huwayna. As they were entering into our vicinity, they were walking in a manner that was lackadaisical, lethargic, upset, irritable. And I rushed towards them as I normally would do, but they didn't even notice me because of the grief that they were going through. And I overheard my uncle Abu Yasir say to my father Huyay, is he really the one? And my father Huyay says, definitely he is by Allah. He says, can you confirm it? He says, I can confirm it. So my uncle then asked my father, what do you feel in your heart towards him then? Meaning towards the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who you confirm his truthfulness and sincerity and his conformity to the appearance of that Nabi of Allah that is mentioned in the books, the previous books, the Old Testament, the Torah. She says, sadly, my father responded, Adawatuhu wallahi ma baqit. I will remain his enemy till I have the last breath in my life. Meaning I will just be hostile towards him. So interesting is the fact that how she would grow up hearing this hatred towards the truth, towards the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from her father, from her uncle, from her surroundings. But Ya Allah, Allah is the giver of hidayat. Hazrat Safiyya radiallahu anha was so wise, she was so intelligent. She's mentioned in the books of history, like Abu Nu'aym mentions her in his Hilya, where he describes her, وَمِنْهُنَّ التَّقِيَّةُ الزَّاكِيَةُ ذَاتُ الْعَيْنِ الْبَاكِيَةُ صَفِيَّةُ الصَّافِيَةُ زَوْجَةُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Ya Allah, how he describes her. From the people of purity is the pure, chaste, special Safiyya, the one with the eye that teared for Allah, the one that was chosen by the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Definitely I cannot do justice to the translation, but really she was special. Despite the environment being hostile towards the truth, Ya Allah, how Allah chose her, how Allah preserved her, how Allah protected her, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know, the Jews would always show hostility towards Islam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learnt how the Banu Nadir showed hatred and animosity, and the Banu Qaynuqa'. We showed how they would not want to deal with the Muslims and a Muslim woman unless she unveils herself, and their crude way of dealing and their charging of usury and usurping of people's rights and kindling disunity between others just for them to actually run the situation. Not being happy that the truth came to Medina Munawwara even though they were advocates of the truth in the past, but they selfishly kept it for themselves, and their hatred knew no bounds. We notice the problem with the Jews was, it was racism. It was racism that they looked down upon others, and this caused their deprivation. When Allah Ta'ala sent the beloved Nabi of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the children of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what they could not bear. And they forgot about all the good that they had, and they refused the command and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala save us from this despicable quality. In the hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never call the slogans of Jahiliyyah, because this becomes the fuel of hellfire. Sahaba asked, what if one performs prayer and fasts and does other good deeds? Allah's Nabi said, looking down upon others and the qualities of Jahiliyyah and paganism will cause one to end up in the fire of Jahannam. Allah save us. Do we remember the incident of Khaybar? Or before Khaybar, do we remember the incident of Khandaq? The battle of the trench with the entire Arabia, the Meccans and the Ghatfan and the tribes of the Jews had rallied and unified their forces to march towards Medina Munawwara and eradicate Medina Munawwara. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gains information about this. He gathers Sahaba, they sit in Mashura, consultation, asking their opinions. And then they decided on the opinion of Hazrat Salman Farisi radiyallahu anhu, the Sahabi from Persia, where they dug a trench, a huge trench around Medina Munawwara, and Sahaba had to defend. The Muslims in Medina were very few. This number of army numbering 12,000 came marching to Medina Munawwara to eradicate Medina Munawwara, trying to exterminate Islam and the Muslims. And who was the one who instigated this entire troop and all these men? It was none other than Huyay bin Akhtab. And then as they were sieging, there was one Jewish tribe left in Medina Munawwara who was still in alliance and allegiance to the Muslims, the Banu Qurayza tribe. And when the siege prolonged, Huyay bin Akhtab sneaked in and met this tribe of Banu Qurayza and convinced them that why don't you join us and join the Confederates, where all of us are together against the Muslims. And Ka'b bin Asad, who was the leader of the Qurayza tribe, first refused. But Huyay's sweet tongue convinced him so much that he finally then gave in. And now there was more trouble, because prior to this, Muslims had to guard the trench in the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. And inside Medina, there was still amnesty and security, because this Jewish tribe was part and parcel of the sequence and the protection of Medina Munawwara. But now they had also perpetrated treachery and treason against the Muslims, and this now caused a frenzy in Medina Munawwara. There was fear, there was worry, because now the Muslims could have been crushed from within. And Quran speaks about this. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ هُنَالِكَ بَتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Study these verses in Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah describes the scene, what had happened there, and how then Allah's help came. Ya Allah, how Allah guided, subhanallah, Allah hidayat dene wale hai. Allah guided Hazrat Nu'aym radiyallahu anhu. And what a means of Allah's help he became. Allah takes care, Allah takes care. And then how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiyallahu anhu to see what's happening on the outskirts, outside Medina Munawwara. And then Huyay bin Akhtab, when he had convinced this tribe to join in with them, then they asked him, what would happen if now Muslims do win at the end? He then assured them that the Muslims can never win, because now they will be eradicated from the roots. But if it happens, then I will join you and I will face the fate you face. So that was what happened there to Huyay bin Akhtab towards the end of the Battle of Khandaq. Then came the incident of Khaybar, where the Muslims had gone to perform Umrah, and the Jews who were living in Khaybar were planning an attack upon Medina Munawwara. Number one, in the absence of the Muslims. Number two, they had hoarded lots of weapons to eradicate Islam from their center, from their area of treachery and plots, namely none other than Khaybar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the return from Umratul Qada, after the return from Sulhul Hudaybiyah, it was the early 7th year Hijri, he sent Sahaba to different countries of the world with letters inviting them to Islam, Sahaba went to different countries, and Allah's Nabi then made his way, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, towards Khaybar. The incident of Khaybar is very interesting and very lengthy. But in this expedition, when the Muslims had conquered and the Muslims had won, and then there was an agreement between the Muslims and the people of Khaybar, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam allowed them to work in the lands for an honest share and a fair share for them. And every year, when the produce of the lands of Khaybar would come, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would send Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and he would equally half the produce, half for the Muslims and half for the Jews of Khaybar. He would make the parcels and then instruct them to choose. And they would say that, why are you being so honest and fair with us? Is it because you love us? He says, because justice is part and parcel of my deen. And the Jews then said, it's because of this justice the entire universe is running. Bihada qamati samawat wal ard. And in this, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, the daughter of Huyay bin Akhtab, was brought to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was a captive. She was a captive. And she was the daughter of the leader of her people. When Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was a captive. And Allah's Nabi gave her a choice, that she be freed and returned to her family. And the second option was she would remain with him and embrace Islam. At that time she felt that she would be kept as a slave. And she chose to be a slave and Islam. Allahu Akbar. And afterwards she realized Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam meant marriage. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wedded her. And so the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was completed with Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. And as they were en route to Medina Munawwara, 6 miles outside Khaybar, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha had completed her cycle, so she was out of her hayd. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked permission to be with her, and at first she had refused. At another stage later, there was a place called Sahba, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent to ask, and she agreed. Interesting was her choice. She says, O Nabi of Allah, I choose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she says, I don't want to go back. I got no one to go back to. I want to be Muslim. And she had embraced Islam. And her choosing to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this place, Sahaba, the reports later is interesting. When she was going with one of the Sahabiyat for ghusl, and they asked her, how was your time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? She says, we sat and we spoke so much. And he was so kind to me. And he answered my questions. And he had explained to me what had happened. And he had explained to me what my father had done and why things happened the way it did. And there's nothing and there's no one. وَمَا مِنَ النَّاسِ أَحَدٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْهُ. I love Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam the most. And in this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked her this question, that what was your reason for refusing in the previous area? And you agreed at Sahaba that we be together. She said, O Nabi of Allah, that area was near the Jewish areas. I don't want you to be hurt. I didn't want you to be harmed by the Jews, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw the purity and the sincerity of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. That night after Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with Safiya radiallahu anha, the morning early it was when Allah's Nabi came out, and at a distance he sees Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu marching up and down. Allah's Nabi says, Abu Ayyub, what is the matter? He said, O Nabi of Allah, I waited here at a distance because this is a woman and what had happened to her people is known. I didn't want her to be treacherous towards you. If there was any, I would be near to be there for you. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously knew the sincerity and the purity of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, but Allah's Nabi did give Abu Ayyub du'as for his concern and his care. Where they had stopped to spend time together, it's reported that Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, Hazrat Umm Sulaym Rumaysahin Sahla, Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, had prepared Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha for the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the next day Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed that a dastarkhan be placed, and he fed the people the food of walima. In Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu reports this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wedded Safiya radiallahu anha, and the next day he instructed that a dastarkhan, a cloth for meals, be placed on the ground, and hays, some sweetmeats, and whatever was available, dates, and whoever could bring anything, because they were on journey, and this was presented and shared with everyone. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu speaks about Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's kindness towards his wife, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, and how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam veiled her, and this was an indication that she is Ummul Mu'mineen. And she sat behind the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when she was getting on, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his knee for her to place her foot to climb onto the conveyance, meaning the camel. But interesting is Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha's respect. She didn't place her foot on the blessed knee of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but she also placed her knee and climbed on. This was part and parcel of her respect and her wisdom, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. In one report, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Safiya, what had happened to your eye?" She had a black eye where she was wounded. That blueness comes into the eye where she was injured, or she was as though it was apparent that she was hit. She said, "O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had mentioned to my husband previously in the past that the moon had fallen onto my lap, and I narrated this to him, and he clapped me, he hit me, latamani, and he said, 'It appears that you want the ruler of Medina. Is that what you're wishing? You're wishing for the king of the Arabs.'" So Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha was shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already that she would become the wife of the beloved of Allah and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so kind to Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. She would say in Musnad Abi Ya'la, she would say, "I have not seen anyone with such character and kindness and compassion like that of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma ra'aytu qattu ahsana khuluqan min Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And very interesting is the fact that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciated the fact that she comes from the background of Judaism. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed her all the support that she needed. Even when others would look down upon her or others would make certain comments, it was Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who always encouraged and supported and cheered Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. On one occasion, there was a comment that, "Yeah, she's just Jewish," and she felt bad and she was crying. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came by her and she said, "O Nabi of Allah," this is what happened when he had asked her why she was crying. Allah's Nabi said to her, "How can the others be better than you? Why didn't you tell them that how can y'all be better than me when my father is Allah's Nabi, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam, my uncle is Allah's Nabi, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and my husband is the Nabi of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there for his wife, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. In one report, when Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha arrived in Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha heard about her. So she also wanted to see what is she like, because what she heard was she was very special and had such a beautiful appearance, beautiful. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha obviously was veiled, was covered, and she comes into this home where Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha resided, and she saw and then she left. Obviously she was disguised. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afterwards went by her, held her and said, "Aisha, what did you see? What had happened?" So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha didn't want Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to notice that she actually came there. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew his wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha responded, no, she just looked like an ordinary Jewish woman. Ra'aytu yahudiyya baina yahudiyat. Meaning, ordinary, not anybody special. How they look, that's how she's looking. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Aisha, don't say that. She has become Muslim and her Islam is sincere and her Islam is pure." And amazing here we learn that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha never ever said this again or never repeated these words against or about Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha after this, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam notified her, and this was her feeling, you know, of a sort of jealousy that she had. But Sahabiyat and Sahaba were like that. When they were notified, they immediately carried out what was right. This previous report goes like this, where some of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "We come from, you know, Quraysh, noble families," and this reached Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. So she felt it. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that you should tell them that how can y'all be better than me when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my husband and my father, my offspring from whom I come is Hazrat Harun and my uncle is Hazrat Musa alayhi musallatu wassalam. So this is how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her that strength, gave her that support. seeing the fact that she was from a society where she comes from a different background and a different religion, and how she sacrificed. It's reported that she would actually make ikram of others. She would give gifts to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, the blessed daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she gave gifts to others. And yes, afterwards the relationship between Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and Safiya radiallahu anha and all the Ummahatul Mu'mineen was so special and so close. There's an amazing report that shows Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's amazing character and composure. And this indicates that Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha was a very good cook. And she comes from a background where people would be very good in cooking exotic foods and so forth. And the others would have the normal Arab way of cooking. So one day Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Aisha radiallahu anha's home and there were guests. So Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha sent a dish. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha felt it. So she took that dish and threw it down. And the report states that Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went down and picked up, cleaned that whatever dish was, what was in the food that was in there, wiped it, and asked Aisha radiallahu anha for another plate, and returned the plate for Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, because Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had broken this one. And the few Sahaba who were there noticed this, and they all kept quiet. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said nothing. He didn't reprimand Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. He definitely understood the situation and the feelings of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. He just said to them that, don't worry, your mother has felt gharat, a slight form of jealousy. Do not worry, carry on. And Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never even mentioned that or showed any anger towards Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. This is his akhlaq. This is his character. What would happen to one of us when one would say that, no, this, you disgraced me, or you cut my nose and so forth. This is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's amazing understanding of the feelings of his wife radiallahu anhun and the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Another amazing incident wherein we learn so many lessons from is that of Bukhari Sharif, where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in i'tikaf, and Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha came into the masjid to visit him, and they spoke for a while, and then she was returning. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking her home, and her house was a little distanced from the masjid. Her house was near Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu's house. So anyway, when they were by the door of the masjid, two sahaba, it was late at night, so two sahaba passed by there, and it's reported that they were Hazrat Usayd bin Hudayr and Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhuma. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped them. Ala rislikuma, wait. This is my wife, Safiya binti Huyi. So the both of them said, oh Nabi of Allah, subhanallah. You know, we can never think anything bad about you, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I know. But inna shaytan yablughu min ibn Adam mablagh ad-dam. Wa inni khashitu an yuqdhifa fi qulubikuma shay'an. Shaytan works hard on man's body, that shaytan affects him and flows in his body like blood. And I didn't want shaitan to instill anything in your hearts. So this is the beauty of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not leaving anybody to think anything bad, but he would clarify that this is my wife, Hazrat Safiya. This is your mother, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. It's an interesting report where some sahaba had gathered outside Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha's house, and they were busy in tilawah and dhikrullah, and then they made sajda. So she said to them, this is the sajda that you make, the tilawah that you make. Fa'in al-buka. But very important is with the tilawah is the crying for Allah. Cry before Allah. That's very important with our tilawah of the Quran Kareem. So we learn her purity, her ibadat. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left this world also, and in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak life, and after, she was always connected to Allah. Connected to Allah herself and connecting others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very ill, and the blessed wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were sitting there, and Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha was very emotional. And she said, O Nabi of Allah, whatever you are going through, I wish you were rid of all of that and all of that pain and that suffering you are going through. I wish I was going through that. So few others felt that, what is she saying? And maybe there was some doubt in regards to her sincerity. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed those sentiments and said that definitely I know Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha means what she is saying. I know she means what she is saying. How loyal, how pure, subhanallah, subhanallah. There's an interesting incident that during Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's khilafah, there was a slave girl working for Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, and she went to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu to cause trouble. Allah knows her intentions. She said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, "You know, Safiya, she just loves the Sabbath, and she is very, very kind and has a lot of contacts with the Jews." Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu always was a person who clarified and verified and heard both sides of the story. He came to our mother Ummul Mu'mineen Safiya radiallahu anha and asked her, and when he posed this question to her, she said that as far as Sabbath is concerned, I have nothing to do with that. Allah blessed us Muslims with Jumu'ah. As far as the Jews are concerned, yes, فَإِنَّ لِي فِيهِمْ رَحِمًا فَأَنَا أَصِلُهَا. They are my family. I maintain family ties with them. I join ties with them. That is true, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anhu clarified herself. And afterwards, she asked that slave girl of hers, that why you did that? Why are you making trouble by Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu? What's your intention? She says, no, I just wanted to make trouble. And in a kind, composed manner, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, she says, you know, I free you for Allah's sake. Go, you free for Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. What akhlaq, what character. The blessed wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What character she showed humanity. That even those who tried to hurt her, she showed character. Those who tried to make trouble for her, she showed more and more character. This akhlaq she learns from the source of character and compassion and mercy, none other than Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's reported that her house was near Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu's house. And when Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was sieged, she tried very hard to bring water in for Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. And it was very sad, the condition of the hypocrites like Ashtar, when she came with the mule, and what he did was he hit the face of the mule, not allowing her to bring water for Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. But she still made a plan from her house. She built some sort of scheme or a system where water was sent and food was sent from her house to the house of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. This also shows the character of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. So interesting are the ahadith narrated to the ummah via Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. One such hadith is that when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that these people will come, this army, and they will want to destroy the Kaaba, and when they reached Bayda, when they will reach Bayda, an open land in Makkah, the entire army will have sunk into the ground, the entire army, except a small portion. وَلَمْ يَنْجُ أُسَتُهُمْ. So I asked, O Nabi of Allah, what about those who are not part and parcel of them? They just were joined there for some reason of selling goods to them or passing there. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that entire army will be destroyed. But those who had different intentions, they will be resurrected according to their intentions. She narrates this hadith. And scholars explain this hadith to mean, when it comes the time of Imam Mahdi radiallahu anhu, there'll be certain people who will try and harm and attack Imam Mahdi, and Allah will destroy that entire army. In one interesting hadith, she narrates that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came by me, and I prepared this shoulder meat for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I would remove the meat and present it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partook of the meal, and then he stood up and he performed salah. So it shows that she would very often prepare meals and present to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was traveling, and he was told that Ummul Mu'mineen passed away, Safiya radiallahu anha. He got off and he made sajda. And they asked him, is this the time you're making salah? He said that Allah's Nabi said, when you see a sign, then make sajda. What greater sign can they be than the wives of any of the blessed wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving this world? What he's referring to is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are the means of Allah's protection for the world. And the most senior of the Sahaba are the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, because with their quality of being Sahabi, they also hold that honor of being from the mothers of the believers. What a life of nobility she lived. That even when she left this world, part of what she left behind, she was well to do. 1/3 of her bequest, she left to her sister's son. So some objected and said, how can you give someone who is a non-Muslim? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, no, it is so. That's part of her 1/3 that she is at liberty to give to who she wants to. And that was carried out as Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha wished. How she maintained ties with her people, how she shared deen with them, how she preserved her deen, and how she taught the ummah the beautiful life of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to emulate the blessed wives of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in character, in tolerance, in forbearance, in loving each other for Allah. How much of love? Yes, if there was certain statements that were said out of turn, they would immediately realize and they would immediately seek pardon and maintain ties of love to seek Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, because وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, Allah's pleasure is ultimate. Certainly humanity are thirsty for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. It was Sunday, a friend of ours, a revered brother, he was one of the tallest in South Africa. When I verified today, they say he was the second tallest. He was Leslie, he became Brother Luqman. The size of the shoes he wore was 17 and a half for 18. I remember being in Jamaat with him in an area called Lodium. So a brother brought two boxes. So I asked him, "Uncle, what's this?" He says, "No, this is for your friend." So I said, "No, we must pay you for this." He said, "No, this is lying in my shop for the last 5 years and really no one is buying this here. This is a gift for your friend." So he was so happy he had two pairs of shoes. And every now and again he used to join us. Alhamdulillah, he embraced Islam. His brother embraced Islam. But sadly, when he passed away Sunday, his mother was insisting that there must be, Christian burial and so forth. So we went to the family, spoke to them, encouraged them. But the mistake we made was we didn't have the affidavit and the signature of him requesting an Islamic burial. So that's an encouragement for one and all, that this is something that we should make sure when we bring people to Islam also, we should have this document so it becomes easy when they pass away. But alhamdulillah, we did perform the janazah for him and make ghusl for him. And in that, a wonderful brother of mine phones me this week, Ya Allah, and it was so sad when he said that, you know, my mother passed away. And he is the son of the owner of Coastlands, quite a few hotels of, in Durban. So he tells me, you know, my mother passed away. So I was at first so sad about it, and I tried to show him condolence and so forth. And then he says, you know, my mother embraced Islam. I say, Ya Allah, because I know how long he's trying for his mother's Islam. Some weeks before she left this world, she embraced Islam, and he would sit by her and she would recite the kalima and he would teach her. And every day he would recite the kalima with her. This young man embraced Islam some years ago, 5-6 years ago. And when he embraced Islam, his father had instructed him to leave the home when his father got to know that he was Muslim. Actually, he had concealed his deen, and someone takes a photo of him in the masjid, it was Masjid Hilal, and sends it to his father. His father was enraged and kicked him out of the house, but he always maintained that closeness with his mother, and she always did for him. She prepared sari for him, she was kind to him. And before she left this world, she embraced Islam. And a few hours prior to that, he tells her, "Ma, when you asked in the grave, Mar Rabbuk, then this is the answer. Ma Deenuk, what is your deen? This is the answer. Man Nabiyuk, who is your Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the answer." And she acknowledged and she understood, because he would always teach her. And alhamdulillah, a few years before, his father did call him back to their mansion that they lived in. So he did live with his father, alhamdulillah, with a Muslim wife, his wonderful children, Muslims. When his mother left this world, he was telling me that his wife's family told him that, you know, the noor on your mother's face was so amazing. And alhamdulillah, he did ghusl for her, he did janazah salah for her. And then his father and his uncles insisted on the Hindu burial. And something else really amazing happened. Ya Allah, look at Allah's help. When they were doing this ceremony, it wasn't right for him to be there, and he wasn't. But his father's brothers were insisting and calling for him, being the eldest son, to light the match and so forth. And then the pandit, the priest, gets up and says, "No, a few weeks prior, his mother contacted me saying, I forbid my son from being here, and I absorb him of any responsibility towards doing this for me." And Allahu Akbar, look at the compassion of his mother and her wisdom, calling the priest, instructing him not to call her son, understanding that this is his deen, that his deen has to be maintained and preserved. Subhanallah. Look how Allah takes care of our brothers and our people. And something else we learn, this is the beauty of Islam, and this is how we have to appreciate these people who have come to deen and sacrificed, and they sacrifice so much to protect their iman. That's why in deen we have to be family these people, love these people, appreciate these people. In Islam there's a system of mawla al-muwala. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, his grandfather, great-grandfather Bardizba, was brought to Islam by the governor of Bukhara, who was a Ju'fi. And that's how in Imam Bukhari rahimahullah's name, the title is mentioned, Al-Ju'fi,
This was the person who brought his great-grandfather to Islam. This is how beautiful Islam is, that we be family each other. We are there for each other. We love each other. We care for each other. We support each other. This is the brotherhood and the sisterhood in our deen. This is what I request all brothers and all sisters to do. Men make effort on men. Women make effort on women. Invite your friends over for tea, whether they're working for us, whether they're working with us. Make ikram. Invite them to Islam, irrespective of their religion, whether they are Jewish, whether they are Hindu, whether they are Christian, whatever their religion, atheist. Invite them, show them ikram. This is part and parcel of the sunnah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is important. Remember the Meccan stage, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would prepare meals and invite the Meccan people and feed them. And he would then invite them. And then on one occasion, Abu Jahl made trouble. You know, like herd enticing. You know, one man says something and causes trouble. And then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prepared another meal and called the others and didn't call Abu Jahl, just so that they would listen to him. And at times Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would meet individuals. So at times, you know, one is the effect a person takes in a crowd, because one person can sway the crowd. But the other is talking to a person on an individual basis. We'll find that there's so many good people out there. Politely, kindly, respectfully talk to them. Make the ikram. Answer them. Explain to them the beauty of deen. Yes, there's so many wonderful people out there. An elderly senior person, Uncle Ismail Bigji, the other day in town, he came to visit me and he says to me, you know, my father worked for this person owning the store called Mind Stores. He says this owner was a Jewish person, and he said to my father that whenever you need to go pray, you go and pray. Then he said something else very interesting, that he says my father needed to buy this house. This owner, the boss, told him that take this amount and buy the house. I won't charge you interest. You just pay me slowly as you get the chance. I won't even ask you for it. As you manage, you pay. So there's good people like this out there. Look into the life of this wonderful alim, Maulana Sherwan, Maulana Amir Sherwan. He's an alim in South Africa. He comes from Israel. He lived in South Africa and just with friends, and he sees the difference between Muslims and non-Muslims. Muslims showing him kindness, Muslims showing him care, and that inspired him to become a Muslim. Look into his incident and how he becomes an alim, and he then studied in Azadville and he made ta'alluq with our ulama. And up till now, what wonderful work he's doing for Allah Ta'ala's deen. Yes, people are prepared to change. Let's share the deen of Allah Ta'ala with him. I remember a few years ago we were in the Markaz, Johannesburg, and the Markaz sent us to a masjid. So near there was a masjid where Somali brothers would perform salah. So we were visiting that masjid, and I wanted to speak to the brothers there because we have quite a few students who are from Somalia and so forth. And then in that we met a brother, Allahu Akbar, and he just came to visit me this week. He came day before yesterday. Subhanallah, what a brother. So this was 5 years ago when we met, and we kept ta'alluq from that time. So as we were making mulaqat that morning, we greeted this brother, and I says to him, how are you, brother? We're going for breakfast, come join us. And he was so happy. And we sat on the table and in the dastarkhan in the masjid, and he started narrating to us the story on how he became a Muslim. Ya Allah. His name is Sheikh Abdisa. He was 59 when he became a Muslim. He's now 67. But a few years ago this was when we met, and he's telling me, you know, I had more than 20,000 followers in my churches. I ran over 5 churches. I would travel the entire Africa propagating Christianity and so forth. And I would earn so much. And my income was so much. And we were passionate about spreading the word, because we would earn so much in that regard. And he was saying this to our students today. I made him share this in the class. Anyway, he says to me that time, when we met 5 years ago, he says one night, it was late, it was Saturday night, and I was preparing my lecture for the next day's talk on Sunday, for Sunday church, and I see this beautiful man who calls me, and he was dressed in sunnah, in my dream, and he hugs me, and he scratches my head, and all my misconceptions towards Islam were all answered. And then he says to me, this is the religion you must follow, the deen of Islam, the deen of Islam. And I was shown the people of sunnah, and he woke up the next day. He left everything. He sacrificed everything. Whatever millions he was making, whatever income he was making, and he embraced Islam, and then he started learning. And subhanAllah, this he mentioned to us the last time, and today he was telling me how difficult was the task, how he learned, and how Allah guided him, and how Allah taught him, and how many people he invited to Islam. He's from Ethiopia, and I know Ethiopians are people who are very staunch in Christianity, so we were trying to take him to meet other Ethiopian brothers, and subhanAllah, how he was explaining to them. Yesterday I invited a kind of a,
a man who calls himself professor because he's learnt more of the explanation of the Bible and so forth. And now nicely he invited this individual to Islam. So there's so many people sharing the deen of Allah. And subhanallah, it seems that these people who will come to deen will do better than us. Why are we hoarding the deen and hiding it and keeping it for ourselves when it is the right of humanity that it be shared with them, because they are also part and parcel of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's no Nabi to come. You and I are responsible. Let's bring alive this legacy of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this legacy of Sahabiyat. Look at our mother Safiya binti Huyay radiallahu anha, how she took on the deen, how she shared the deen, how she maintained ties with her family, how she showed how to be a true believer. What a Sahabiya, and every Sahaba. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate their amazing, beautiful lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.